All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, but it's not Payne. It's B. Scott. He's with me today and tomorrow. We'll be at Texans training camp tomorrow. This time tomorrow, practice will be kicking off. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Nick Caserio meets with the media at 8:30. Practice at 9. D'Amico Ryans and players meeting with the media. I would imagine tomorrow will be a headliner player day, if I had to guess. You'd probably a C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson kind of day.
You would think.
Maybe they spread those guys out a little bit over the course of the week. We're getting the assistant coaches on Friday this week, which is usually just them and no players. So
yeah, and it's a training camp schedule, which is different from a regular season schedule. But those guys do normally talk on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they would apply that logic to training camp, but
I'd be shocked
it works
if
perfectly.
So. I'd be shocked if we didn't get C.J. Stroud tomorrow. Post-practice. He's the quarterback of the team. You know what I mean? Just like right out of the chute. I'd be surprised.
It would make sense. And another way to put it about tomorrow, the excitement of it all, you can say this with your chest, football season officially starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know they haven't played any games yet.
No.
But it starts with training camp. Once we literally touch grass, football season, 24 hours from now, will have officially started.
Last thing on Jalen Hurts, because we're getting a lot of diverse opinion on Jalen Hurts and where he stands. We played the audio from Cam Newton a little bit earlier saying Jalen Hurts, not a top 10 QB. This is just more of a nostalgia thing, but a texter reminds us, and this checks out timeline-wise, because Jalen Hurts didn't become the full-time starter in Philly until 2021.
Right.
Which here was the David Culley year where Deshaun Watson was just on the roster and inactive every week.
Yeah.
Texter reminds us, Hurts was a potential throw-in as part of a proposed Deshaun Watson trade with Philadelphia. Now, I don't know if that was an actual trade proposal that the two teams exchanged, but Philly was one of those teams that early on, I think probably like early on before the lawsuits, because once the lawsuits hit, the hypothetical trades kind of, they didn't screech to a halt because that's what we do in this business, but I'm guessing that Nick Caserio's phone probably wasn't ringing a ton after the lawsuits started flying, but when Deshaun requested the trade officially, which was the day that David Culley was announced as the head coach in late January, the next 6 weeks were all potential, you know, either an article a day on hypothetical Deshaun Watson trades. I definitely remember seeing some. The texter is right. I definitely remember seeing some with Jalen Hurts coming back in the trade. And I honestly, at the time, like Jalen Hurts was a guy who got in for four starts at the end of the year replacing Carson Wentz and went 1-3 in those four starts.
Yeah.
It was probably something where it's like, I don't know, man. And now the guy's a Super Bowl champion.
I can tell you for a fact that I would not have been interested at the time. Like, so at the time,
there would have been draft picks too, probably, obviously.
So that would have been fine. Yeah. But at the time, that made sense. It's like we're still talking like it's 2021.
Yeah.
It ain't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With so Hurts, like, you mean?
Yeah, with Hurts. That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's fine if that was the case in 2021.
Right.
That was also before he went to two Super Bowls and played well in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've got to reaccount. You got to do a reaccounting and reassess the opinion and go back on it and say, okay, is what I said before still true today? And it's not.
The Texans have the 13th best roster in the NFL, according to various contributors to ESPN.com. The 13th best, which at first blush feels low because they are a team that's still been standing with seven other teams at the end of the last two seasons. They've been one of the last eight teams remaining in each of the two seasons where D'Amico Ryans has been the head coach and C.J. Stroud has been the quarterback. And the roster, I feel like it's, I know they got rid of Laremy Tunsil. I feel like this is a better roster now than it was a year ago, certainly better than it was at the end of last season.
Yes.
You know, the roster a year ago had Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell on it. You know, Laremy Tunsil was still here. However you feel about him, he was unquestionably the most talented of the offensive linemen last year. He's not here anymore, and he's more talented than anybody they have right now.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, so what, to your point, the Texans, one of the final eight, as you mentioned, also, okay, how many divisions are there in the NFL? Six, three in each conference, right?
In the NFL? There's eight. Four in each conference.
Four in each conference.
Four teams,
okay, my bad.
Yeah. Each conference, four divisions.
So four, I'm sorry, I did the math poorly there.
Yeah.
So four divisions, and they've won one of them.
Yeah, last two years.
The last 2 years.
Yep.
So, like, regular season, one of the top teams,
mm-hmm.
and then playoffs, win a game, become one of the top eight. So
yeah.
it makes you think they got to be somewhere 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
You know?
And they're 13th, which, you know, again, subjective list, ESPN, it's whatever. I think they're better than the 13th best team. We're going to find out. They play 7 of these teams throughout the course of the season. They play 3 of them in the first 5 weeks of the season. First 2 weeks of the season, they play 2 of them. Yeah. Tampa Bay is 12th on this list, and the Rams are 8th on this list. Those are their first 2 opponents, and not in that order. They play the Rams in the opener, and then the home opener, Monday Night Football. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be a really fun Monday Night Football game. And then they play Baltimore in week 5 going into the bye week.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to get some truth dealt to us here about what the Texans are right out of the chute this season. The teams that made me scratch my head a little bit that are above the Texans on here, the Denver Broncos at 6, a little bit of a head scratcher to me. The Rams at 8, it feels a little high, but I'm okay with that. You pointed this out, B. Scott, and I think it's a great point, and I think it's accentuated here by things that are going on with the Bengals that are timely right now. The Bengals are 9th on this list. The Bengals are 9th on this list, and they are trash on one side of the football. They're a bad defensive team whose best defensive player is in a holdout right now and whose number one draft pick on the a defensive player, Shamar Stewart, is also in a contract dispute with the team right now. And the rest of the defense ain't that good. And they're 9th. Largely, I'm not even guessing. I mean, largely, it says right here, on the biggest strength for the Bengals is wide receiver, their passing game, basically. They're 9th on the strength of Joe Burrow having a season last year like he may never have again.
Yeah.
If he's on any other team with any other amount of wins, above 9 wins, he's probably the MVP of the league last year. He had 3 touchdowns and 250 yards passing the final 10 games of the season last year.
Burrow and Chase, for that matter. Yeah. Like, the two of them, the combination of them, who, like, by the end of it, will probably be viewed as all-time greats, both of them. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, they're operating on the strength of those guys, are being voted in this poll here on the strength of those two guys, almost like they're a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this is basketball and you've got the basketball equivalent of a Joe Burrow and a Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I hear you. But those guys can't play defense. They don't play defense.
That's right.
So they can't help you in that regard. It's why you're scoring 30 a game but giving up close to 40, and you're losing.
I like that.
So, I mean, that logic does not apply here. I get it. Those guys are great. But, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be evaluating an entire team here.
Do you agree with these for the Texans? They have biggest strength, biggest weakness, X factor, and non-starter to know. Biggest strength, edge rusher. And when they list them all, I'm not just talking Hunter and Will Anderson. When they list all the guys at that position, it's hard to find. I mean, cornerback might be in the conversation.
No, because this one's the only one that's top heavy and deep.
Yeah,
they've got some positions that are deep. They got some positions that are top heavy. This is the one that they have that is both top heavy and deep.
Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson are your two starters. It's hard to find a duo that's better than those two in the league. I don't think you can. And then they're backed up by Denico Autry, who, you know, again, older player who needs to stay healthy and stay unsuspended.
But a dog.
But a dog.
Yes.
I mean, Nick Caserio called him bad MF-er, a guy you'd want on our show, said guy's a bad MF-er, a guy you want in a dark alley with you, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Derek Barnett, who's been just an excellent pickup by the Texans, picked him up on the waiver wire in 2023, filled in really nice. You know, Will was missing some games the end of that year. Derek Barnett got picked up in the second half of the season, had like 3.5-4 sacks that year, had 2 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
For what he is, you know, 1 year, $4-5 million guy, Derek Barnett is a really solid depth piece.
Talented dude.
And Daryl Taylor, who had 20-some-odd sacks over the course of 4 seasons so far in the NFL, including a 9.5 sack season at one point, he's your 5th guy at that position. You know, Dylan Horton was doing some decent things at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Those are probably your 6 guys at defensive end if you keep 6. So I agree with them on this. I disagree with them on biggest weakness, as do you. They say interior defensive line and say offensive line was a strong candidate, but defensive tackle is arguably a larger concern. I am going into the season with relatively no concern at interior defensive line. I'm not saying that they're great.
Nah.
But
they're not concerning.
I'm not concerned about. I'm not nearly as concerned as I am about the offensive line. I don't know where this guy's come. This last name is Clay, who wrote this paragraph of the evaluation. I don't know where this is coming from, that the offensive line is not a bigger concern than the interior of the defensive line.
Yes.
No chance.
To me, the only knock on the interior defensive line that you might have, and I wouldn't make this argument, I'm just throwing it out there, they got some what could be considered relatively no names. Like, it's not a name brand gonna wow you type of unit, but they're solid guys. They've been productive. And I think I pointed this out with Clint when they first brought back Sheldon Rankins. They've had a hodgepodge of interior defensive linemen over the last couple of years. And then the two best of the defensive linemen over the last couple of years, they decided to bring back. One in Sheldon Rankins, who was on the team 2 years ago, and they brought him back from Cincinnati. Then the other one was Mario Edwards, who was on a one-year deal, and they brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been putting together kind of like this make what feels like a makeshift interior defensive line. And then out of that makeshift, they took the two best guys and decided to bring them back on top of that. And
yeah.
So, like, I have actually zero concerns about the interior defensive line, even if I can acknowledge none of these guys are stars.
Can't have all pros everywhere. You know, so they got some solid journeymen in there that I think the ones that were on the team last year all overachieved relative to what I was expecting from Settle and Edwards and when healthy Fatakasi.
All complimentary, too. Like, play well with the guy next to him type of thing, which I know is kind of a Seth Payne could probably talk to you guys better about that. But, like, playing well next to the guy or playing well with the guy that's next to you is something that these interior defensive linemen also do.
X factor for 2025. I can get with this. Jaden Higgins, rookie wide receiver, talking about losing Tank Dell. Obviously, Diggs left in free agency. Diggs, by the way, cleared for practice with New England today. So he'll be on the practice field for the Patriots. Wish him well. If Higgins can be that player, talking about being a guy who can step in and do Tank Dell, obviously a different style player than Tank Dell, not replacing how it gets done, but the productivity, then the Texans would have a formidable receiver room with Nico Collins on the outside and Christian Kirk in the slot. And I know you'd probably, as I would, throw Jalen Noel in there if he's healthy, that he could contribute as well.
Yeah, I think either one of those two guys would be a good pick for an X Factor. Obviously, ESPN here picks Jaden Higgins. Like, if he could be, funny enough, the same last name, if he could be like the T. Higgins to Jamar Chase or the Jordan Addison to Justin Jefferson, right? Like, if he, and different type of player, again, what we're talking about, but sort of that role or a guy who's like, borderline star, could maybe even be a number one or one and a half, 1A type of guy on another team. Like, if he's that, then he's 100% an X Factor.
Would you sign up for 750 yards from Jaden Higgins?
Yes.
You would sign up for that right now?
I would sign up for it.
Here's what I'm going to look up.
I don't know. I guess you'd have to tell me, like, what is it? Is it front loaded? You know, like, does he get the 750 and then he's hurt at the end of the year? Obviously wouldn't sign up for that.
Okay, would you sign up for this season for Jaden Higgins?
Okay.
52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah, two touchdowns.
Just two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns feels low, but if he's got 50 some odd catches, that means he's a chain mover. He's moving, he's helping you move.
15 yards a catch is pretty decent.
Yeah. And I mean, in anything over like 50 catches is, I think, a productive season.
Do you know whose rookie year that was?
Let's see, what did you say?
Former Texan.
50 yards.
52 catches.
52 catches, I mean.
802 yards and two touchdowns.
Ooh.
And he was a complimentary receiver to a Hall of Famer.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins.
It was DeAndre Hopkins' rookie year in 2013. Played all 16 games, had 52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns. He obviously turned into a lot more than that over the course of the next 5 and 6 seasons for the Houston Texans.
Hopkins' rookie year is 2013 or 14?
2013.
Yeah, so that's the year that Chubb is going in the tank.
Yep.
So, like, he didn't. Keenum, by the end of it, is playing.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a quarterback situation to speak of.
Yeah.
And he's, so
this is a much better situation than
that. Yeah, and he almost gets an excuse for not getting more than two touchdowns.
When Andre had a huge year that year, and to that 2-14 season, Andre put up numbers that year, if I had to go look, that I would expect out of Nico Collins if he played 16 or 17 games.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would sign up for 52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns for Jaden Higgins right now.
Yeah.
Right. And I know the two touchdowns feels kind of, I would sign up for that right now.
You know, I would punch the ticket, I guess, with the caveat that someone is scoring touchdowns. Like,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, he's only got the two, but that means that, you know, Nico has more, or Dalton Schultz has a few, or maybe they rush for several. Nick Chubb's on the team now. Maybe he's your, you know, goal line guy, something like that.
Non-starter to know. And I don't know that this guy's a non-starter for this team, actually.
Yeah, who is this guy right now?
Blake Fisher,
man?
He has as a non-starter to know.
Does he know something that we don't about Blake Fisher in this offensive line?
I don't know. I'm going to see who they have as the starting tackles here. This, the left tackle. Oh, hang on a second.
That's probably Cam Robinson, but who, like?
Cam Robinson. Okay. He has Titus Howard as the right tackle.
Oh, so he's not
familiar. Guy also has Jimmy Ward starting at safety.
Oh, okay.
All right. This ESPN, you're a little lazy. You know what? 13th. The Texans are rated the 13th best roster by the outlet that has Jimmy Ward starting at safety.
Yeah. No.
His ankle bracelet on right now, starting at safety for Jimmy Ward. No. Yeah. No. Kalen Bullock is starting at safety.
So to do this, to write this article, all right, we're going a little inside baseball on ESPN here, but are you not required to at least follow OTAs and minicamp before you do a pre-training camp list of the best teams?
If I were running this website, ESPN.com, that's what I would have my writers do that.
Yeah, I feel like you got to at least know what's going on now.
Yeah.
It's like he looked at the depth chart last year. Like, does he know that Blake Fisher was a starting right tackle? But even, not just now,
he actually,
but by the end of the year.
No. He does mention that.
Okay, okay.
Or they mention, it's Aaron Schatz does that paragraph for non-starter to know, and it says the Texans have a lot of linemen in the mix. It has to be surprising for a second-year player like Fisher to look up and see so many players as competition. Fisher had some average at best games at right tackle last season.
That's accurate.
And rough lowlights against the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs.
Yes.
His 85.6% pass block win rate was well below average.
Yeah, no, that's all of that is fair.
All's accurate.
All that is fair. And his job is up for grabs,
I think. No question.
I think that's
He's not anointed in an ink at right tackle. Jimmy Ward starting at safety, though. That was okay.
Yeah, that's outdated.
Yeah. I think even if Jimmy Ward comes back and is exonerated of everything, I don't think he's starting at safety for this team.
Right. Exactly.
I don't think he is. All right. Brandon Scott in for Seth. It's Payne and Pendergast on a Tuesday. All right. At first, we thought we weren't getting this, but now it turns out Hulu has stepped up and is giving us the documentary that I know at least Payne and Pendergast want, much to the chagrin of some of our listeners. We have that for you coming up next.